Bible this morning, the book of Ezekiel. If you have your Bible, the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 4 through 6. If you're there, say amen. If you can't find it, just follow along. Hallelujah. God's going to help us. How many know that? Amen. I'll give you a few more seconds. Ezekiel's right after Jeremiah. Your e-Bible is good, but you got to be able to look for it. Amen. You got to flip. Because I'm going to know when you flip, you got to find it. Or else you get lost in your sauce. Hallelujah. You know, it was so funny. You know, I'll just give you an opportunity to be able to find it. But, you know, I was, when I first came into the church, I was so eager for God, but I didn't know. You know, I was raised a good Catholic, you know, and God help us, you know, that's where I was. You know, but I came into the church, the pastor would say, I turned to here, and I would be flipping through, flip all the way back, flip it back again, and by the time I knew it, he was already 5 minutes down the road. I was like so excited that I finally found it, but it was like 5-10 minutes down the road, and I was like, now he's going to another one, now I got to flip it back, amen. So learn your Bible, amen, learn the things of God, and God will help you, glory to God. Ezekiel 4, 4 through 6, a sermon entitled Construction Zone. How many, like construction zones? You like construction zones? Because you work it, right? Amen. Can I tell you, nobody else likes construction zones. God help you. Because you are one of a whole lot that don't. We see right in front of us that the road was closed off. It's there for a reason. Listen, we don't like construction zones. Not only does it slow us down, but it messes us up. I'm barely 2 months into being here in Colorado Springs. And they block off this road. Can I tell you, it messed me up. And I'm just right here in front of the church. When they blocked off the entrance to there, I said to myself, how in the world am I going to get into the church parking lot? And it's just right here. I had to reprogram myself for a week or so to go around the 7-Eleven, and I said, oh, there's ways to get around the construction zone. We don't like construction zones, folks. We don't like it, but can I tell you, it's needed. There in Dallas, they are redoing 635, it was already a mess. It doesn't take you directly into Dallas. It takes you around Dallas. You're looking there was a lady that drove, it was 11 to 12 miles, and it took her an hour and a half to get to work. In just that short amount of span. When they did a construction, and now they narrowed it down to just a few lanes, can I tell you? It was a mess. And not only was it a mess, but it was going to be estimated. They don't tell you when. An estimated completion date of 2027. I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, we're in 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27.
5 more years of this? But see, what you and I cannot see, somebody else sees ahead of us. Amen? Can I tell you what you and I don't see right now of what God is doing? God does. God sees. And what He is constructing, you and I are like, man, this is inconveniencing me. This is really doing something to me. I'm having to go and do different things. I'm having to learn different. And I'm having to do all kinds of different. But God says, what you cannot see now, you will be able to get why later. Ezekiel 4:4-6, the word of God says, lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore, you shall set your face towards the siege of Jerusalem. Your arm shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. A sermon entitled Construction Zone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are doing. Help us in all, God, to know the plans that you have towards us. Your word says that they are of good and not of evil. They are to give us a future and also a hope. We thank you, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. When you and I look at God's word, we find that the Old Testament, it points us to a picture of, amen, the truth that are found in the New Testament. Some people say Old Testament is for you guys, older people. The New Testament, we don't want to live in the Old Testament no more. But can I tell you, the Old Testament, it is there to point out, amen, the truths that are found in the New Testament. We see examples, amen, of the Exodus that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was a picture of God's salvation. The blood on the doorsteps is a representation of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I. Manna from heaven is spiritual food. See, as we look at our text and as we see upon the word of God, you can see, amen, that before you were saved, can I tell you, our lives, they were torn apart. Our family was in ruins. We had no sense of what marriage was. Our finances were non-existent. You didn't know what having a savings in your bank account, because you didn't even have money in your pocket. Amen? How can I have money in the bank if I don't have money in myself? Amen? So not only were all these things a mess, everything was, amen, in ruins. Most, if not all of us, were at rock bottom. We were at the end of our ropes. Our lives were in ruins. Our spiritual lives were non-existent. The walls, amen, of our mind were torn. The walls of our morals, we had none. We had no character. All of these, they were ruined. They had been torn down or even non-existent. As you look around you, we're all smiling now, Amen. How many know that? We're all looking, and you, for the most part, amen, we're all smelling good. For the most part, some of you might be like, but we're different. How many know that? We are. Look around you right now. Knowing what you know about each other, how many would hang around with you if you were not in the things of God? If they, if the layers of who you are were really unveiled, can I tell you, you wouldn't even want to be with you. Because when we know who we are, listen, I don't want to be with me. You know, we just, my wife and I, last Tuesday, we celebrated 30 years, our 30-year anniversary. And can I tell you, that's a great accomplishment, folks. But we were not going to celebrate five. Because year four, we were done. You go your way, I'm going to go my way, and whatever. See, we got saved, and now we can be around one another. Amen? We can be around you. You can be around me. See, we repented of our sins. We asked Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of our life. Can I tell you, if he's going to be Lord, if he's going to be Savior, thank you, Jesus, that you saved a wretch like me. But is he your Lord? Because him being your Lord, he has to be able to have a right to tell you, amen, or direct you into what he wants, not what you want. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. Can I tell you, when that happened, folks, the building project, the construction zone, amen, it all began. And can I tell you, we're not there yet. I told you that the 635 interchange was going to be done in 5 years, amen. Can I tell you, I've been saved for 26 years, and it's still a work in progress. Amen. It's still a work that God is doing. See, he began, amen, the reconstruction. He began to build up walls. He began to lay the foundation. He began to lay down the soil. The walls would be constructed in many ways. But the main thing that these walls will be constructed by is through prayer, folks. Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's why Jesus said, pray, pray, pray. Love it, love it, bless this grub. I'm done. And we prayed. Right? We think that we can survive on praying for our food. Folks, the devil's going to come and say, I'm going to eat you for lunch. Amen? See, the devil wants to weaken your life. He wants to weaken you spiritually. Demonic forces are there at work to halt or hinder our prayer life. They don't want you to pray. I wanted to pray, but I just needed one more hour of sleep. Pastor, you got to understand me. The demonic forces don't want you to cry out to God. They want you to think that you can do it upon yourself. See, when you pray, what you are actually saying is, Lord, there are things that are out of my control. I need to trust in you. You are saying, I trust you. I don't trust in my own abilities. You know, the other day, you know, when I was younger, I would almost be able to hurdle a fence. You know, the other day I tried to do that and I got to the fence and I said, "Don't you dare." I said, "You better watch it, because when you were younger, you could be able," and you know, I would come just like I was running sometimes, and I would be able to hurdle it with no problem. And here I came up and I, let me see, how am I going to do this? How am I going to throw myself? I couldn't, listen, folks, I couldn't do it. See, there are things that you and I come that we can't do on our own. That's why we have to be able to trust and believe God for. See, you're saying, "God, I can't do this on my own." See, when I was younger, I thought that I was invincible and also invisible. But I don't have those abilities no more. I don't have the powers of invincibility no more. These bones, I learned one thing, that they break. Amen? And not only do they break, but they take a lot longer to heal. You know, I went up the incline, and I was not going to let my 19-year-old son beat me. But you know, the next few days, I was like, "Why in the world did you do that? You did that because you didn't want to. You are suffering today because you did, because your pride said you cannot allow this young man to beat you." And I suffered. And can I tell you, my body said, "Don't do that no more. Don't do that." See, I can't trust upon my own understanding, folks. I have to be able to trust in God. See, the devil wants to weaken your trust or dependency upon God. The devil will oppose you and I. Ephesians 6:12, "For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Listen, things that you and I cannot see, but yet they're there. Satan will say things like, if he speaks to you like this, amen, God doesn't hear your words or your prayers. He isn't listening to you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your problems. He doesn't care about your life. He doesn't care about your kids. Your kids are going to be ruined. He doesn't care about your finances. See, Satan wants to stop the building project, the project that is at work today. He will bring accusations. He will bring accusations against God. All to be able to stop the work of God. Listen to what Zechariah 3 verse 1. "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord." But listen to how many know that that's good to hear, that God has somebody there by our side. But listen to what the second part of this verse says. "And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him." Satan is there to be able to stop the construction project that's working in our lives, folks. See, Satan is there to resist everything that God, or to get you and I to resist everything that God wants to do. Can I tell you, when you get close to the devil, you better watch out. Because he's like, listen, you can come and tell me I have a snake and he's my pet. Can I tell you, pet snakes, they bite you. Amen. You can think, yeah, he's my pet. Look, I'm giving him. But then one day when you're at least watching, I thought he was my pet. Not no more. He's out. See, Satan is out to resist. He doesn't like what you could become, folks. Can I tell you, every one of us here this morning, we have a destiny in God. Every single one of us this morning has a purpose in the things of God. Every single one of us this morning has, God has plans for our lives. And the devil wants to stop what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't like soul winning. He doesn't like faithful men. He doesn't like prayerful men and women of God. Ezekiel 4:24. Or Ezekiel, amen. 4:4. Lie also on your left side and lay in the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. See, if you listen to the devil and allow him to discourage you or frustrate you, the work of God, folks, will not continue on. See, how many, no doubt, we've known Christians that they get frustrated. They get frustrated with you, the people of God. You know, I've heard things like, I don't mind the old man in the sky, but I don't like the people of the that are in the church. See, people sometimes get frustrated with us. How many know that? I was talking to a man in Honduras when I went this last time in June. And he said, I haven't been to church because of a quarrel that I had with the people there in the church. And I said, what did God have to do with your quarrels? Amen. I said, I gave him an illustration. I said, if you get mad at Walmart, are you going to stop shopping there? You know, we went to McDonald's yesterday, and everything that we ordered, they gave us the opposite. Can I tell you, I'm going to go to McDonald's today. Amen. We ordered three $5 bundles. They gave us three cheeseburgers and a quarter pounder deluxe. Three $5 bundles, McChicken meals. They gave us all these things. And I'm like, is that going to stop me from going to McDonald's? Is because you get frustrated with somebody in the church, is that going to stop you from now serving God? It made no sense to me. But how many know that that's people's lives? They get frustrated. They think that God doesn't care about them. That he's not listening. The moment that we get frustrated and we begin to blame God, the work in our lives, it doesn't get put to a standstill. It halts completely. It halts. Destinies are ruined. Purposes are no more. For years, people sit on that frustration
and they refuse to move. Their whole spiritual life is now put on hold. The walls are now undone. There's no more defense there for your life. If this is happening for you this morning, the walls will begin to decay. They will begin to crumble, and eventually those walls will fall. Have you ever seen a house that is uninhabited? It can be the same age as the house next door, but yet the house that is uninhabited is in ruins, where the house that is filled is full of life. Why? Because one is being neglected, the other one is still being taken care of. Little by little, if the walls are crumbling, if the bricks are now beginning to fall apart, people will go back to who they were. We will be lost without God. In the book of Nehemiah, amen, chapter 4. Seven through nine. Nehemiah chapter 4, 7 through 9. Now it happened when Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. See, many times you and I give up, and we give up way too easy. The Bible tells you and I to not, amen, be ignorant of the devil's devices. See, this morning, you and I have to stand up against the powers of hell. James 4, 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. It doesn't say give him an invitation to come in. Amen. We have to be able to resist. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you this morning, folks, if you and I are not sober and vigilant, we're going to let our lives be overrun. God is sending help. But instead of inviting the devil, devil, come on in. Don't bother me no more. I'll let you come in. Just have a seat right here in my recliner. We got to resist. Amen? We have to resist. We got to tell the devil, devil, get out my life. We gotta listen. The devil treats you bad. Why do we treat him so good? Devil, don't do nothing to me. I'll give you the invitation. No, we got to hit him. You know, it's not a physical war. That's why it's a spiritual war. You got to fight them through spiritual matters. And because it's a spiritual war, if you're trying to fight physical, how many people we got that are fighters, that are ex-gangsters, bang-bangers, or all these other things? Amen.
they ain't gonna know it's me. Right? It's not me. I'm civilized now. You didn't let the devil hit you. You didn't let somebody hit you, did you? Why are you not gonna hit the devil back? Right? Why are we not gonna hit the devil back? Punch him. But it's not physical, it's spiritual. You gotta fight the spiritual with spiritual things. That's why you have to be, listen, we have to fight spiritually. We have to invoke the things of God. See, help is on the way. But yet, because we don't get it fast enough, because we don't get it there when we want, Daniel chapter 10, and I close with this. Daniel 10. Daniel 10, 11 through 13. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. See, God heard our words. Listen to what he says. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Folks, help is on the way, but you have to be able to hold on. The word of God says that the prince of Persia, which is the enemy of God, came and fought against the response. Imagine if Daniel would have quit on day two. Go, oh God, you didn't answer my request. I'm going to quit. He said for 21 days, he did not stop. You know what? We cannot stop because, folks, help is on the way this morning. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Construction zone, amen. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're here this morning. You're not right with God. Jesus loves you. And he cares about you. And he's got such a beautiful plan for your life. Is he your Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning? Have you accepted him? The Bible says that you must be born again. What is being born again? It's not the fact that we're going to come out of our mother's wombs a second time, as Nicodemus didn't clearly understand. Jesus says, you are a scholar and you don't understand this, Nicodemus. See, it's not the fact, folks, that we are going to be born a second time of our mother's womb, but the fact that we are going to have now a spiritual birth. That which is of flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. This morning, you can be born again. You can have a new birth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. You have become and been made new. Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? I'm not telling you, folks, if you know about Jesus, because the world knows about Jesus. But have you personally surrendered your life to Jesus?
If that's you and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, but you want to give Jesus an opportunity in your life, would you do one thing for me? Would you just simply lift your hand? I want to pray for you. All I want to do is pray for you. You're here this morning. God sees one on his heart. Anybody else? You want to invite Jesus Christ into your life? Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give your heart and life to Jesus? Allowing Jesus to now begin that construction of your life. Anybody else? You're in this place. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Two honest hearts. Anymore? This morning, you would be honest with God. God, this is my life. I'm broken. And only you, Jesus, can bring me back together. Would that be you? Anybody else? Maybe you're backslidden in this place. At one point, you trusted in God. At one point, you confide in God. He was walking there alongside of you, folks. But just like this gentleman that told me, I got frustrated with the people of God. Maybe you got frustrated and that frustration led you to be away from the things of God. And today, you are backslidden. Jesus wants you to come back this morning. Don't be around the atmosphere of God and not come back to God. Is that you this morning? You're backslidden. You're not right. But you want to make that commitment. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? People are raising up their hands. How about you? Anybody else? You got frustrated. You were betrayed in a sense by people. Can I tell you, that had nothing to do with who God is. That had nothing to do with the character of God. That was the character of man. And because of that, your frustration was taken upon God. And this morning, you are going to be honest, with Jesus. And you're going to come back. Anybody else this morning, you want to come back to the things of God? God sees this hand. Anybody else? People are raising up their hands. How about you? Don't leave this place, folks, the same way you came in. I'm not going to hold it anymore. From front to back, from left to right. You want to come back to God. Can I tell you, that's the first step of restoration, is being honest to who you are. You want to have a new beginning. Joey, won't you pray with the gentleman right here on the side next to you? If you've lifted up your hand, would you look at me? You honest back there in the back? You honest? Young man, you honest? Sir, you honest? Would you do something? Would you come? All I want to do is pray for you. I'm not going to put you in front of the mic. All I want to do is pray for you. Would you come? Quickly. Quickly, would you come? Quickly, would you come? Can I tell you, it takes humility. Jesus was in an open forum. I don't want people to see. Listen, who cares? Jesus is seeing this morning. Come on, come on, sir. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Would you come? Would you pray with him, Pastor? Or would you come? Come on. Come on. I want to pray with you. Folks, Jesus wants to help us. Jesus wants to help us. When we are honest before God, that's when God is able to help you and I. Why don't you raise your hand? Raise your hands. Just raise them. Raise them. Just say, Lord, I ask you this morning to touch my life. Help me to trust in you. Help me to begin a new life. I ask you this morning to forgive me of all my sins. Cast these things away from me that have hindered my life for so many years. I ask you this morning to give me the strength to live for you. From this day forth, Lord, I trust in you. My trust, my confidence is not upon my abilities any longer. But now my life from today going forward is in your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch them, God. Help them, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. You be with them, God. Help them, Father, in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, that was his first step. To be reconciled with God. It's a construction. It's not easy, is it? But it's the best life ever. Because it's a life of rewards. See, we can give you something. It's not going to last. Jesus gives you something. It's for eternity. Amen. That's what Jesus is able to do. Hallelujah. Why don't you take some time and just you talk to God. The altar is open, folks. Construction zone. Let God begin his work upon our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, lover of my soul. let you go.